Vanny at first, two outs. 1-0 to Merrill. Here's the pitch. And Jackson sends it in the air to straightaway center. It's deep. Crow Armstrong back on the warning track at the wall. This one going to go. Two-run homer, Jackson Merrill. Third of the year, and don't go anywhere. It's now 7-5.
Jesse Agler announcing something we won't get to see for a while. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Yeah, this is supposed to be the happy hour, you know, Scraby. We're going to start it off with some really lousy news. Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Tony will be with us because we have our Fantabulous Sports Game Show coming up at the bottom of this hour. Scraby and Tony will compete for fabulous prizes. That's coming up.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the hour.
I'm more concerned with this.
Well, we all are. But before I get to that, let me at least thank the fine people who sponsor the happy hour every single day. That is our friends at GL Pools. They are the swimming pool experts. They're trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Been doing it a while, almost 20 years. Baseball's back. So is swim season. Call now. Mention the word radio. Jot this down unless you're driving. Mention the word radio. You get a free month of pool service. I mean, that's awesome.
You know, I had to go, because of all the wind lately, I had to go scoop some stuff out of my parents' pool.
Pools can get rather messy if you don't have the likes of a GL pool guy out there.
No, we don't.
You know?
And so it's me cleaning scooping out all the leaves.
Cleaning you up. And you get a whole month for free. So
I have a question.
Call GL Pools. Mention the word radio. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the happy hour. We go ahead and ask a question. We still haven't told people the bad news if they happen to just be tuned in.
Let's talk about that, and then we can talk about that later.
You and I know the bad news.
Yes, let's talk about the bad news.
People that have been listening to the show know the bad news, but anybody who just got in their car at 5 o'clock may not know the bad news.
That would be the responsible thing to do.
Yes, Jackson Merrill to the 10-day injury list. He did not play last night. Obviously now.
Wow.
Not in the lineup tonight, nor will he be for the next 8 games. Jackson will be eligible to return for the next road trip, Scraby, which begins Friday, April the 18th in Houston. We will not see Jackson Merrill during the next homestand when the Rockies and the Cubs come in. Jackson, with all they keep saying is, you know, just injured legs, sore legs, muscles tightening up, whatever it is, look, I don't believe.
I read that tweet. The muscles were tightening up.
With all due respect, and, you know, the Padres, I love them, and I understand why they're doing what they do, but they never really tell us the straight story. So, you know, you can guess whatever you want. The guy's got a leg injury. He's out 10 days. End of story. There's not much more we can tell you. Mike Shildt, I doubt, will shed any more light on that than that, but you will hear from Mike Shildt, I'm sure, in Sam Levitt's pregame show. We did confirm the assertion by our chat room fan, Beef.
Hot Beef.
Give me some of that meat. Beef was right on it.
Give me some meat.
Thank you, Beef. Oscar Gonzalez is on his way to, I guess, Sacramento.
Yes.
And he will join the Padres.
Great airport, by the way.
Being called up to replace Jackson Merrill. So, yeah, it's a bummer. Obviously, tonight, neither of those players are in the lineup. I would imagine if Oscar Gonzalez gets there in time, they shuffle him over to the stadium. He could pinch hit, if need be, later in the game. Now, Gonzalez had a sweet spring training. He hit exactly .400. He had a .995 OPS, had 22 hits and 55 at bats, 8 extra base hits, Scrape. So, you know, Oscar was swinging it pretty well. He played in parts of two seasons with Cleveland, 2022 and 2023, hit a total of 13 home runs. He also hit a walk-off game-winning home run in a playoff game for the Guardians a couple of years ago against, I think it was either Tampa Bay. Yeah, Tampa Bay hit the walk-off. That was a game the Guardians won 1-0 in like 15 innings. He came up and finally sent everybody home.
Yeah, every time you say that, I remember.
Yeah. So Oscar Gonzalez will be called up. Now tonight, Brandon Lockridge is again in center field. Jose Iglesias goes to left field. Do you know how many times in his storied career Jose Iglesias has played left field. Scraby.
I do know because I saw a quote from him.
Okay.
The answer is zero.
It is zero,
and
yes.
And his quote was, it's going to be nice, well, paraphrasing, it's going to be nice to get a new view.
He'll get a new view. The one thing for Jose and any left guy playing left field who's played on the infield their whole lives, ground balls will be much slower when they get out there to you.
I know he's a professional baseball player. I trust Mike Schilt and co thinking that he's going to be okay, but playing left field for the first time in your career is not easy.
No, this is not exactly a vote of confidence either for Jason Hayward. I grant you that a left-hander is starting tonight,
yeah.
So that's why they're not going with Hayward in left field. But if you're ever going to let him bat against a lefty, tonight would be the night.
Yes.
Because you have no left fielder.
Yeah.
And
you're putting a guy who is not left field or doesn't play left field.
Never played there before. And Iglesias had a 13-year career, never been in left field.
So kind of concerning to me.
I believe he'll
be fine.
Wait, hang on. Last night he had to use the clubhouse restroom. He ran through left field and looked pretty good doing it.
Okay, so apparently. He's familiar with the grounds.
He's familiar with the grounds out there in Sacramento. You know, here's my guess. With Merrill out, Padres will, I think, you know, Lockridge is in center tonight. I don't think they'll give Lockridge the start in every game. I think they'll give Hayward a couple of starts in center field. He's the only other guy who's ever played out there. You suggested moving Fernando to center.
They're not going
to
do that.
I suggest that's a terrible idea.
I said, well, thanks.
You're welcome. It's a terrible idea. Just leave
Why?
Fernando.
Why is it
leave him
idea?
Where he is.
Why that's is it terrible,
all.
Though?
Why make two positions worse?
Fair enough.
There you go. All right. So anyway, that's the bad news. The good news is the Padres are in sole possession of first place today for the first time since June of 2022. To that end, last I checked, let me check again because I'm, you know, that kind of, I like to give you up-to-date information. Hang on.
Dodgers. Oh, wait, I have music for this.
Oh, wow. How about this, Greg? Nats 8, Dodgers 1.
Ooh.
Bottom of the fifth.
I think Pa has hit a home run.
Dodgers getting it on the chinny chin chin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that, what would they start, 8-2? Or 8-0?
Yep.
They're going to be 9-4 now if they lose this game. There'll be 4 out of 5 losses for the team that could never lose a game.
You know those Dodgers fans? I swear
I knew you were thinking about that.
What?
When the Padres lost last week, the Dodger fans were popping off saying, oh, I guess
used to it or something.
No, you have to be special to be in the unbeaten club. Well, the Dodgers are no longer anywhere close to the unbeaten club.
I know that Dodgers fans won't say that they're worried, but
They're not worried.
They're worried.
There's nothing to worry about.
There is nothing to worry about.
They started some guy named Justin Robleski tonight.
Brent Sobleski's cousin.
Maybe. I don't know where he came from when you consider that the Dodgers have like 19 starting pitchers.
They do.
I guess they're all hurt. But anyway, Dodgers are taking it hard 8-1. So Padres pick up a little ground tonight when they send Dylan Cease to the mound. Sam Levitt, pregame duties will begin shortly after 6 o'clock.
I have the chat earlier was saying they were saying like, oh, we're gonna be fine without Jackson Merrill. I do agree that the team's gonna be fine. It just stinks to not have him in there. So say the next 10 games, Chris, what would have been your record with Jackson Merrill, and what's your record without?
Does
his presence win you one more game?
Maybe one.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll give you one. Here's the thing. And I noticed this last night. I'm sure people watching the game did too. They won.
Yeah.
But without Jackson Merrill in the lineup,
changes things.
It just, the lineup is not long enough. Because after Xander Bogaerts, it just goes away.
Yep.
I mean, if your 6-9 hitters are Yuli Gurriel, Jason Hayward, Brandon Lockridge, and Elias Diaz or Martin Maldonado, if that's your 6-9,
it's not scary.
Yeah, you're kind of begging for a hit there.
Yeah.
And that's 4 straight batters.
Yeah.
So that's what happens when Jackson Merrill is out.
Yep.
And so it's going to be, you know, don't say they're not going to miss him. They're going to miss him.
Of course they're going to miss him. But yeah. I think that they have the people in place that can win games while he's out. Like, if this was a longer absence, I would be much, much more worried. But it's a 10-day IL stay.
But
AJ Casaville said that the Padres are just being cautious.
That they said that yesterday, and they made no hint that he was going on the injury list.
They said day or two.
Yes. Yesterday they said they were being cautious for a day or two. Now they're saying they're being cautious for 10 days. Don't put it past the Padres to not be telling us the whole story. Not because the Padres are bad guys, but because it doesn't behoove them to tell us the real story.
It doesn't.
So they're not going to. I hope that in 10 days, as mentioned, April 18th, when they get to Houston, he's back in there.
Can someone get Jackson Merrill some like bananas or some extra water?
He's 21 years old. How's he cramping up already? Come on.
Well, I guess it's a hamstring strain. And the Padres are actually calling it officially a right hamstring strain.
Yeah. And those can be troubling.
Tricky.
A little tricky.
I don't like anything having to do with the hamstring when someone's injured.
Break time. Traffic time. See if we can find some good news from Kelly Danick.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. There's a ladder in the lane somewhere on Gwynn and Chris. Nearly 3 years. Got to go back to June 17th of 2022 for the last time the Padres were in sole possession of first place. That is a little crazy, honestly.
Are you making too big of a deal out of it?
No. I think if you were 1-0, like at the beginning, you'd be in first place for a day somewhere along the line. But Padres have been chasing the Dodgers for 2.5 years. They're finally ahead of them, if only for the moment. Dodgers are losing 8-1 to Washington. Giants play later against Cincinnati. Jackson Merrill, if you're just tuned in, 10-day injury list, strained hammy. Oscar Gonzalez called up to take his place. Oscar not going to be there in time to be in the starting lineup tonight. Never can tell. Maybe he gets in later in the game.
That tells me something, actually.
What, that they might have waited a little while to see? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's not as bad as we think.
You know what? Let's take it at face value. The 10-day injured list, precaution. Let's stick with that. If we have to worry about something more, we will. But at the moment, that's all we have to worry about. We'll look forward to Friday, April 18th. Jackson Merrill will be eligible to come back.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with not overreacting, because if I overreact, then I'm just going to worry.
Well, you're just going to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there today.
All right. Padres and A's, Sam Levitt with more details coming up in the Padre pregame show at 6. I thought the NCAA title game last night was really great for a lot of reasons. First of all, is the what do you call it? The contrast in styles. Florida is an excellent skill team, and they can get up and down the floor, and their guards are electric, and they can go on big runs, and they can get up and down in a hurry, and they can put 10, 15 points on you, and they want a fast pace. And on the other side, Houston is everything Florida's not. They are just a big, strong bunch of guys who play with great heart and hustle and play bruising defense and basically look to, beat you up and wear you down that way. And you look at Florida's front court, they got 3 or 4 guys that are 7 foot. None of them, I don't think, can chew bubblegum and tie their shoes at the same time. I'm sorry. They're a little discombobulated, those 7-footers. And look, Condon, the starting center for Florida, did make a couple of dunks in the game, and he ended up diving on the final loose ball. So let's give him that much. But Houston's front line just beat those guys up. And Houston, offensive rebounding, 15. Florida had 8. I mean, to me, the Cougars just put the ball up until they made it. They kept getting it, rebound, rebound, rebound. The problem was Houston did not convert those second chance points. They got second chances. They did not convert them into points. But I thought Houston's game plan was so good on the defensive side of the ball. And it wasn't brilliant. It was just executed so well. And the plan was, don't really bother guarding the big guys. They'll turn it over anyway. And let's stop Walter Clayton Jr. and Elijah Martin, the two great point guards who average about 40, 45 points a game. These two guys are incredible, as Auburn found out in the semifinal.
And Houston did it. Clayton didn't score a basket till like 5 minutes were left in the game. Elijah Martin had 2 points until the last 6 minutes.
You can't lose that game.
That's right. Houston did it all. They did
it
all right.
You can't lose that game.
They led by 12. They, you know, they had the slow, you know, deliberate, you know, plotting possession of the ball. They didn't turn it over until the last four possessions of the game. Houston only had like 3 turnovers until then. And then the last 4 possessions, they turned it over every time? That's incredible. And Florida stole the game. But it's the same thing Florida did to Texas Tech. They stole that game too. And you almost go back, they almost stole the game from Auburn. They were way down in that one. So maybe you got to give some credit to Florida. And you got to give a lot of credit to Walter Clayton Jr. Because here's a guy that, you know, figures he could score 25 in his sleep. He had nothing. No baskets, no nothing. But you know what he did do, Scrape? And it's a good lesson for any of you out there who love to score the basketball.
I do.
I know you do. But for all those people who love to score and think that scoring is what you must do to win a game, watch Walter Clayton last night. He couldn't score because they were triple-teaming him, double-teaming him. They wouldn't let him score. What did he do? He had 7 assists. He kept on making plays. He finally attacked, got a couple of baskets to go, ended up scoring 11 points. And then the final play of the game, when the ball got over to the Houston shooter, Sharp, to the winning three-pointer, Walter Clayton jumped out and got in his path and made him put the ball on the floor, and basically that was the game. He couldn't pick it back up. It would have been traveling. So Walter Clayton did winning stuff. And that's what I love about, you know, a kid like that and a game like that. It's easy to play great when you're scoring 34 points, but can you play great and have an impact when you can't score 34 points? Because the other team won't let you.
Yeah.
And that's what Walter Clayton did, and he was the most outstanding player of the Final Four, despite having what for him might have been one of the world's worst games. So it's a great lesson for, you know, young basketball players out there. Yes, it's great to score. Yes, you know, that helps your team win. But there are other things you can do to help your team win, and he did those things. So
yeah,
give him credit for
that. I think on a smaller scale, I mean, when we were out at spring training, we talked to a couple Padres that said that they need to focus on
Jake
things
Cronenworth
like...
Jake Cronenworth,
that's what it was. He said even
exactly.
If I go 0-for-4,
right.
did I beat out a double play, or did I turn a double play?
Yeah.
Did I do something else?
Did I make a good relay throw?
Yeah.
Did I steal a base?
How else can I help
how
when
can
I'm
I
going 0-for-4?
Exactly. And that's what great players do.
Yeah.
They look and they see, how else can I help? Because Houston wasn't going to let this guy score. He only made 1 3-pointer the whole game. Why? He wasn't open. They were draped all over him. So he found other ways to help his team. And, you know, Houston, I felt bad for Kelvin Sampson, even though it's hard for me to feel bad for a guy that cheated worse than probably any coach in NCAA history. In fact, he cheated so bad, they kicked him out of the sport for 6 years. And now they look at him as he's the greatest guy ever.
I got a question for you.
So
on
I'm
the
not
other
ready.
Side
to, I'm you're... not ready to give him that moniker.
Okay.
But he did coach a hell of a game, and his team had a great game plan, and they executed it, and then they let it get away at the end. So I thought it was a great game, a lot of fun. We got to take a break. We have our Fantabulous Sports Game Show. If you haven't heard that before, you usually play it much earlier in the day. Scraby versus Tony Gwynn Jr. You'll love it. It's coming up next as Gwynn and Chris get set to wrap things up for a Tuesday.
Short show on Wednesday, but we'll talk about Jackson Merrill being one of the best players in Major League Baseball since June 8 of last year. We got stats to back it up.
The Braden Surprenant Show, weekdays from 10 till 2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Chris Ello here for my friends at Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. You know about it now. Coronado, La Jolla, two great locations. Coronado at the Ferry Landing, La Jolla at the corner of Prospect and Fay. Here's what you may not know. Both locations are now open 10 a.m. And they're both now serving brunch on the weekends. You don't have to wait. You can grab yourself some early morning Spiro's, including Mediterranean stuff like Greek eggs Benedict, roasted vegetable frittata. They got the traditional brunch favorites like Belgian waffles. biscuits and gravy, all the goodies. Great smoothies as well. And, you know, Sparrows, they give you a lot of great food at great reasonable prices. Of course, you can get the regular, you know, Mediterranean fare throughout the day as well, like a filet mignon kebab or the, you know, lamb or beef gyros, the whole thing. Spiro's incredible. Don't forget the hummus and the pita. And also don't forget, when the Padres get back in town, you go to Petco Park, look for Spiro's on the main concourse, third baseline. I feel really bad. Young man wrote me from Indiana University. Email.
Hoosier.
Yeah, he's a Hoosier. Wrote me, I'm trying to find the exact date, so I can make myself feel worse. Here we go. January 29th. What are we, in April?
Yes.
Yeah. He just wanted to know about internships and if I had any suggestions.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Don't do it, Chris. Don't do it to me.
What, don't do what? Send him to you?
No.
Oh.
You never got back to him?
It got, you know, lost in the email shuffle, you know? And I was just going through my emails a minute ago, and I'm like, oh, no!
You know,
I meant to get back. I feel bad because I've written these letters before, like he wrote. And, you know, when people don't get back to you, you feel a little bit some type of way. And when people do get back to you, it's very nice. You go, that's very nice that they did that. So, my bad. I'm going to write this kid now. Go ahead and do the rest of the show, will you? I got to write this.
I mean, you know, I've sent emails before to people. And
yeah.
But like, when I first started getting into radio, I think I sent emails to everyone I could find. I think
you don't get a lot of them back. Yeah, you don't get a lot of them back.
Hey, when people email me, I do write back.
When you get one back, though, you feel like, hey, that was pretty nice of them.
Yeah, I do write.
So I like to do that, and I, you know, I messed up on this one. So
you know what's actually really funny, though, is like sometimes I tell people the, Sam walked over to the window and started mouthing something to me, and I couldn't figure out what he was talking about.
You know what? I don't have anywhere to go tonight. I don't know about you.
I'm just going to stand outside the
window. That's what I mean. When our show's over, let's just stand outside the window and just, you know, ridicule Sam through the glass. Because he does this to us all the time.
He thinks
it's hilarious.
And I'm going
to
do it to him, too.
Yeah.
I don't even remember where I was going with that.
I don't know. You're going to say something about me not writing this kid back.
Oh. I always write back. And I love it when people, when I give them advice and they're like, oh, I was thinking about doing this instead. Why did you write to me?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm telling you how I got. They asked me, how did you get into radio? How should I get into radio? Here's how I got into radio. Here's how you should get into radio. Oh, I'm good. I'm going to go do this other thing. Okay.
I know. Look, if we can't help the next group of people coming up, then what are we doing?
You know what I'm saying?
We should at least attempt to.
I feel very strongly about helping people get into the business, because if there was no internship when I got into radio, I would not be sitting here right now. So I will help.
We should try to pass it along. What do they say? Yeah. Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. I try to do that.
Although I can't think of anybody who helped me really at the beginning. I'm just kidding.
You were at a time, though, when it was like,
I mean, I came up
super competitive.
I came up under the likes of Hacksaw, you know, Hartman, Rome.
Yeah. Chet
40, sure. You think any of those people lent a hand?
I would like to say yes, but I don't think so.
they acknowledged my presence, but no, I got along with all of those guys. But, you know, you got to kind of carve your own path at certain times. But I will get back to this young man. I feel really bad.
I got something for you, though, before you go into that.
Okay, go ahead. We're doing our fantabulous game show in a minute here.
Yes, Mike Schilt has spoken to the media.
Okay.
And I have his quote on Jackson Merrill, so we can hear what he said about it and hear the tone of his voice.
Okay.
Once you realize we weren't in that gray area anymore, the gray area being like day-to-day, try to figure it out, day off coming up. But the good news is, at the moment, it doesn't appear to be anything overly serious. There wasn't a traumatic effect that caused it. It was some tightness that clearly is real, and he's working really diligently, as you would expect, to get treatment. We just felt like it was going to be every bit or close to the 10 days, right at that mark, and instead of playing, you know, shorter, and also trying to, not that we would force it, just go ahead and get it done and presents an opportunity for Gonzo.
How much did this, it being this time of the season, like, play into, like, making it obvious that this was right.
Oh, Jackson?
Yeah, given how long there is still to go and how much it's
been. Yeah, I think we were ahead of it yesterday. And then, like I said, still some things going on that, you know, making sure of. Relative time of the year, I mean, yeah, we're going to be a little more cautious this time of year. That's for sure.
All right, Mike Schilt. On the latest, Jackson Merrill to the injured list. You heard him mention Oscar. That's Oscar Gonzalez.
Gonzo.
Gonzo, right, yeah. Gonzo has been called up to replace Jackson Merrill on the roster.
He sounded a little depressed, Mike Schilt.
It's not a good thing. No. I mean, you're going to do a cartwheel? Jackson Merrill's on the injured list?
If I could do a cartwheel, I would still not do the cartwheel.
I think I shouldn't say this because you'll put me on camera one day. I feel I can still do a cartwheel.
That would be incredible.
It's been a long time, but I think I could pull one off.
I've never been able to do one. It's so hard.
Are you going to challenge me one day? We can't do it now.
No. All right. Let's go in the hallway, Chris.
I'm just saying it will probably happen sooner rather than later. But what's going to happen now is that we're going to do our Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show after traffic.
All you beautiful people out there, it's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right!
We like to call it...
Ooh, I'm gonna go...
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show! And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know if everybody could tell out there, it's been a little bit of a bizarro world the last 7 days. That's because Scraby is the defending champion in Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
I'm not going to say it.
Well, one thing I don't think we have any evidence of in the past is you winning back-to-back weeks.
There has been one time.
Really? Okay. Well,
in the
we'll
beginning.
See if you can do it again.
In the beginning.
What was the category last week was not sports-related, and I think it was weather-related.
Yeah,
was
it was.
Not?
It was temperatures.
Temperatures.
States with the average temperature under 55.5.
Yeah, we got some complaints from the peanut gallery on the topic.
Who's the peanut gallery?
Well, didn't you tell us that, Scraby?
Yeah, you told us that people were writing in on the chat saying, oh, this is not a great category. They want sports category.
I didn't
say that.
Definitely
told us that.
Pretty sure you did.
They were complaining that they thought I cheated and won.
No, I recall a complaint or two. Yeah. Anyway, I'm the one that comes up the categories.
Wait.
Scraby just be making up stuff and then he forgets his cap.
No. You guys remember nothing, but you remember me saying this last week.
Yeah,
I definitely remember you saying that.
I took it to heart.
It was alarming.
Yeah, I took it to heart.
You guys are ridiculous.
I've been a bit stressed over this, that chat comment for the entire week. So hopefully we can bounce back today. We will do a sports category for those who don't like non-sports categories out there. Scraby wants a non-sports one because that's the only ones he can win.
That's true.
But here we go. 15 correct answers today. You should know how this Fantabulous works out there. Tony and Scraby will alternate giving correct answers. First one to 8 will win, or first one to 3 strikeout or 3 strikes when you get one wrong. 3 strikes and you're out.
I've heard that.
Yep. And so that's how this game works. And you can play along out there, see how many of the 15 correct answers you can get. Very simple category today, guys. Doesn't need a lot of explaining. According to USA Today, and I'm looking at it in the USA Today.
He does have a paper.
I do have a USA Today with me.
Turn it around and show me real quick.
Well, I can't because it's got the answers on it. Name the 15 teams in Major League Baseball who have the lowest 15 payrolls.
Oh.
We're going with the lowest, cheapest Major League Baseball teams. All you have to do is name somebody on this 2025 MLB team payroll list between 16th most and 30th most, otherwise known as the bottom 15. I should try to explain that the Mets are actually on top this year.
Yep.
Because it is based on average annual salaries for your players in 2025.
Yeah, Juan Soto makes all
right. Even
salaries.
Though the Dodgers have spent billions, so much is deferred, etc. So that's. I just want everybody to be on the same page. It is 2025 MLB salaries, the 15 cheapest squads. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Tony, ready?
Let's go. Yes, sir.
All right. I guess, Tony, you lost, so you get the choice whether you want to go first or not.
I'll go first.
You'll go first. All right. Give me one of the lowest spending major league teams for 2025. Get us started here.
Let's just get right to it. How about the Tampa Bay Rays?
Tampa Bay Rays, $79 million payroll. That ranks 28th.
Ooh, wow.
Third worst. There's actually two teams below them. But Tony, Tony is on the board. Scraby, your turn.
What's up with these Florida teams not doing anything? The Marlins.
Miami Marlins, $67 million. That is 30th and lowest in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, what is that? Both are the Florida, South Florida teams. Cheap, on the cheap. All right, 1-1. We have 13 correct answers left. Tony Gwynn Jr., your turn.
How about my good friend Dick and his Colorado Rockies?
Richard?
Your good friend who?
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Monfort.
Dick Monfort.
I forgot about him.
Oh, yes. When the Rockies go to Denver, Tony says hello. He has to say hi to two people. Drew Goodman, our great friend and broadcaster.
And Dick?
And Dick. He goes over to the owner's box and breaks bread with Dick Monfort. The only problem is Dick charges him for the bread.
He does.
So, yeah, that's not good.
I may have thought that Chris Bryant was going to inflate their average.
Well, they are on the list. But they are, believe it or not, the Rockies are 20th. So there are 10 teams below them in payroll. But Tony takes a 2-1 lead. Scraby, your turn.
I'm going to go with who the Padres are playing right now. The Sacramento Athletics.
Yes, that's incorrect. It's just the Athletics.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Sorry.
$73 million. They are 29th. So you guys have got the bottom three, and you've got the Rockies so far. So 2-2 with 11 correct answers remaining. We're looking for the 15 lowest Major League Baseball team payrolls. Tony Gwynn Jr.
How about our good friends out in Pittsburgh?
Oh, good old Pittsburgh. Yeah, they don't spend too much money there, and they're on the list. They're at 25th. 26th, I beg your pardon. So there's four teams below them. There's actually one team you haven't said that is below the Pirates, but that is a correct answer, and Tony takes a 3-2 lead. It's great. I think this is going to get kind of tough. It's going to get difficult when we get to the middle here, and you have to try to get those ones there in the middle. Anyway, Scrabe, you're up.
I pay pretty close attention to contract stuff.
Okay, well, let's see how you do.
But I don't think it's going to help me here.
Let's see.
I'm going to take one of the lower teams, the White Sox. The White Sox.
You know, this is why. How was Jerry Reinsdorf in Chicago, right? Third largest city in the country. Huge television market.
Rebuilding here, Chris.
Able to have the 27th. Highest payroll.
Rebuilding year, Chris.
And it's I can tell you from my side of things, it's not because he's putting money into the Chicago Bulls. So I don't know where Reinsdorf is coming from. We got a 3-3 tie. We have 9 correct answers remaining. Fantabulous game show. Tony Gwynn, your turn. No strikes yet.
How about
low payrolls we're looking
the
for?
Nationals.
The Nationals.
On my list.
I like the way you pronounce that. Nationals are at $107 million, 24th. They're easily on the list.
Uh-huh.
So they're in the bottom half. And Tony takes a 4 cheaper 10. Tony takes the lead, but no strikes yet. Scraby, your turn here. Got 4-3 with 8 correct answers remaining. Lowest 15 lowest team payrolls in baseball.
I'm going to go
a little tougher, I think, at this point. But
I'm going to go
see who you come up with here.
With I'm trying to think of young teams that haven't been paid yet.
All right. Well, take as much time as you need, Scrape.
Reds.
Cincinnati Reds are 22nd at $115 million. That is correct. Yeah, good job, Scrape.
Good job, Scrape.
Los Rojos.
Hunter Green's
Cincinnati.
Up next, right? I would believe.
Hunter Green will push that up a little bit. All right, we're 4-4, 7 correct answers remaining. You guys have named pretty much the lowest 8 so far, so it's going to get more difficult here as we get toward the middle. Tony, your turn to try and guess one of the lowest payroll teams in baseball.
How about the gods? The gods.
The gods are.
I thought you said the gods.
Yeah. The gods are at $100 million, which is 25th. That is way down the list, and that is correct. why again? The Guardians, another team that seems like they would spend more money, but not the case. All right, you guys have now named number 21, 22, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. So the only ones you have left are 16 through 20, and then number 23. So it's going to get tough now. Who are you going with, Scrape? Trailing 5-4.
Who are you going with, Scrape?
Who are you going with, Scrape? He's really, look at him. If you watch in the chat right now, you are seeing a man on a mission. You've got the pen pressed so tightly into your forehead.
In my eye.
Yeah, now you're going to poke your own eye out over there. Be careful.
I'm going to go with Los Tigres.
Los Tigres.
The Tigers, de Detroit.
I'm a little nervous about
them. You're a little nervous about them. They're 17th. That's just enough to get them in there. $143 million. The Tigres are in the bottom half.
Weighting that down.
It is 5-5 with five correct answers remaining. No strikes yet. And a thrilling Fantabulous Sports Game Show is nearing its conclusion. Tony Gwynn Jr., can you come up with one of the remaining five?
How about the Minnesota Twins?
Dang it.
Going with the Twinkies. $142 million. They are 18th, just below the Tigers. They sneak in. Twins is correct. You guys have gone 11 for 11. Very impressive.
What numbers do we have left?
There are four teams remaining. There is number 16, number 19, number 20, and number 23. Those are the four teams still that would be correct answers here. No strikes yet. Scraby trying to tie it back up at 6-6. The Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Getting tense.
There's like a couple teams that have paid like one or two guys, and I'm not sure about those teams.
All right.
Oh.
Well, give it a go here. Give it a go, Scraby. I'm pretty impressed with you guys so far, though. No incorrect answers yet.
Oh!
Oh!
He just got one.
He lost it.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I got to guess.
I'm feeling the pain just sitting over here.
What about
watch
the...
you play.
Mariners.
The Mariners.
He's going to the Mariners.
Seattle Mariners.
Did they pay Julio?
$146,793,414. They're 16th.
Yeah!
They're just in there.
Yeah! Didn't even win.
Look how happy he is. My goodness. All right, you guys.
To beat Tony on a sports one is top creme de la creme.
Not yet. We're tied at 6. Again, no incorrect answers. There are 3 correct answers left. Number 19, number 20, and number 23. Tony Gwynn Jr. looking for one of the Major League Baseball's lowest payroll teams. You guys have named 12 for 12. And we're right down to the nitty-gritty here. Still no strikes, Tony. So there is a little room for error, but not much. What you got?
I'm going to say this team in red sneaks in there barely.
Okay.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Ooh,
really? One of baseball's most proud franchises.
They're not too proud right now.
Everyone's picking them for last in the division because they have a low payroll, $141 million.
Wow.
That is 19th. That is correct.
Didn't even consider that one.
I didn't either. I thought you guys would guess 5-10 teams before you get to the Cardinals. But Cardinals is correct.
That is
Tony
sneaky,
nails
sneaky.
It. And we are 7-6. Tony, there's 2 correct remaining. Scrape, no strikes yet. You're looking for team number 20, team number 23. Those are the All 2 right. remaining. You guys have not missed one yet. What an impressive performance by both combatants today. Do you know the other 2 out there?
I think one of them.
You think one of them is?
Thanks.
Uh-oh.
They've only paid one guy, one of my favorites, Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Your official guess. Number 20 on the list, the
yes!
Kansas City Royals is correct.
Yeah!
At $130 million payroll. So it comes down to this. There's one team left.
And if Tony gets it, he wins? There's no tiebreaker?
No tiebreaker
today. Oh, this is ridiculous.
I did not expect you guys to be able to go 15 for 15.
This is ridiculous.
All right, I'll tell you what. If Tony gets it, I'll give you a chance to tie, but you would then have to name the one just above the threshold.
That's not fair.
It's all I can do for you.
It's not fair.
It's all I can do for you.
This is where picking at the beginning comes back
He sounds confident like he knows.
Understand that he could strike out before you, though, because if he gets these wrong and then you get them wrong, he would lose before you, Scrabe. There's only one team left. Is Tony going to get it? That is the question. I'm telling you, Scraby, if he gets it right here, I'll give you a chance to tie and create a tie, but that's all I can offer you.
Okay.
I feel really good about this
You
one.
Feel been, really good about this, do you?
I've been pocketing this one.
You've been pocketing this one.
I have two that are pocketed, and I just don't. Yes. I never got a chance to use them because I wasn't sure.
I know a little bit about this play, so I'm going to go ahead and guess the Milwaukee Brew Crew.
I wasn't sure.
I was going to ask Tony if he played for this franchise. Yeah, Brewers are way down there, $115 million. That is correct. Tony takes an 8-7 lead. You guys went 15 for 15.
Let's go.
That's amazing. Give yourselves a round of applause, Scraby, even though I know you're a little disappointed now.
We know. Hey, listen, we know our frugal team.
You guys know your payroll. You guys didn't miss one of these.
I told you I'm up to date on contracts.
Incredible. All right, Scraby, I give you one chance to tie. If you can name now, you're looking for the 15th highest payroll in baseball. So it's the lowest one that hasn't been named, and I will grant you a tie. If you can name the 15th place team. Otherwise, you're going to have to play the music, and Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to regain the title on the MLB team payrolls. Why don't you tell us out loud who you're thinking of now? There's no other guesses.
Well,
who are you thinking about? You want to share your process or no?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the Diamondbacks.
Okay. Diamondbacks.
The Blue Jays have spent too much money.
I want to give a guess after he.
All right,
misses this.
If he misses after he misses this, Tony knows the mental.
You
game,
know, since
man.
It doesn't really matter because I'm going to lose regardless.
No, I'm giving you a tie if you get this. That's a better than a loss.
All right,
tie is good. Especially
there is zero chance the Angels are on this list with Mike Trout and Rendon.
All right,
I'm going to go. Okay, here it is.
This
is kind of a wild guess.
There we
go. Wild guess.
Let's go.
I don't want to do that guess anymore.
Oh.
Fine, I'll just do it. I was thinking possibly this team sneaks in there.
Oh, my gosh. The Astros.
Nah, the Astros are seventh, Scraby. So they are not there.
Is it?
Tony Gwynn Jr. wins the game. He is the champion of the Fantabulous Game Show. He wins it in a classic 8-7 game. You guys were both brilliant.
This is brutal.
I think you got to play a little music, even though you're upset. And Tony, while you celebrate, what would have your guess there for the next one to be?
Baltimore.
That is correct. Baltimore,
15. Dang it.